Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Bill Welsh guides us through the New Testament book of Acts. Now to Pastor Bill.
Hi, and welcome to Acts chapter 7 here on Through the Word. This is Pastor Bill, and let me ask you a question. Have you ever found yourself backed into a corner, under the gun, seriously persecuted for your faith in Jesus? Well, you're about to read one of the boldest presentations of the gospel from a man in exactly that position. I always like to think that I would stand up in the face of imminent danger, angry crowds who want to skin me alive. I've thought about it, but this guy did it, just like his Lord Jesus did. We met him last chapter, chapter 6. His name is Stephen, and other than having a reputation for a solid walk with the Lord, Stephen's first recorded assignment was to help with the daily distribution of food to the poor widows in Jerusalem. Jesus promised us that if you're faithful with a little task, you will be trusted with greater tasks. Well, that is Stephen's story to a T. In chapter 6, Stephen was brought before the crowd with false accusations leveled against him. The accusations were presented, and then the council turns to Stephen at the closing of Acts chapter 6, and it says that they saw his face like the face of an angel. Now, I've never seen the face of an angel, so I'll just have to take their word for it. But was it glowing? Was it just peaceful and all compassionate looking? I'm not sure. We don't know what he looked like, but we do know what Stephen said. Get ready here for a great read in chapter 6. This is often called Stephen's defense, but there's only one problem with that. I don't really see Stephen defending himself here at all. He isn't pleading for mercy in any way. Notice in verse 1 how the high priest says, "Are these things," that's the accusations, "are these things so?" Stephen's answer basically ignores that question, again, just like Jesus often did with his accusers. And rather than telling them what they want to hear, he tells them what they need to hear. How? By telling them what they really already know. He rehearses their history, and he embeds his message in their history. He starts with Abraham, the starting point of the nation of Israel, and he covers the call of God upon Abraham, the travels of Abraham, the promise of the promised land, the promise of future persecution and bondage in a foreign land, and the Jewish covenant of circumcision. Ouch. And the birth of key historical figures come into the story as well, Isaac and Jacob, as well as what he calls the 12 patriarchs, which means the fathers of their faith and really of their culture. Those 12 boys, sons of Jacob, will become the heads of what we know as the 12 tribes of Israel. And then Stephen reminds them of the persecution of one of those brothers, the brother named Joseph, by the rest of them, how they sold him as a slave. I mean, can you imagine that? Now, my brother Kevin and I had a lot of arguments growing up, but it never came to that. And then this bold brother, he goes on to talk about Joseph and his refusal to let his circumstances determine his attitude. He loved his nasty brothers far more than they deserved. Well, the message goes on to talk about the lawgiver Moses and his trials with the stubborn nation. And Stephen continues to show how at every point of advance there was this opposition by those who should have been cooperating. Moses is the target of insurrection and distrust in Egypt, as well as in the wilderness after they'd been delivered. He reminds the council that Moses himself was rejected by those that he was trying to help, and they even moved into idolatry under Moses. What I love about this chapter, though, is the way that Stephen highlights the grace of God in contrast to the rebellion of his own people. God just kept on giving. He brought them to that promised land. He allowed them to settle down and even build a temple to replace the tabernacle, which was God's mobile home, in a sense. And then Stephen crosses the threshold into very dangerous territory. He tells them in verse 48 that, quote, "The Most High does not dwell in temples made with our hands," end quote. And then he gets even more personal. He calls them names like stiff-necked, uncircumcised, which is like saying, "You stubborn Gentiles," which was a horrible insult to any Jewish man. And he wraps up by reminding them that what they were about to do to him, their ancestors had done to the prophets and preachers that God had sent to this stubborn people. That's it. Time is up. That's Stephen's time is up. The council can't take any more accusations from this upstart Jesus person. Basically put, they just kill him. How did they do it? Well, you'll see, they stoned him, which was not a mercy killing, nothing easy about it. It was brutal. Read carefully how it all comes down at the end of Stephen's life. And here's what I love. At the very end, Stephen keeps his eyes on Jesus. In verse 56, it says, Stephen looked up to heaven and said, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Wow. Jesus gives Stephen a standing ovation. I wonder if I'll get one of those when I step across the threshold into heaven. Don't rush past those last words of Stephen. He actually forgives his enemies. That had to cut to their hearts. But that's exactly what Jesus did with his executioners as well, and what he does with us. He forgives us. If there's a main message in the chapter, it's this, I think. Stephen's defense, I suppose, is simply just saying from the beginning to the end, if I am being rejected and persecuted for speaking the truth, I'm in good company, the company of those who love their enemies enough to tell them the truth, even if they had to pay the price with their life. And by the way, there's an important new name that shows up here at the end of chapter 7. Look at verse 58. Look who holds the coats of the killers. A young man named Saul. Yeah, that's him, Saul, who will shortly become Apostle Paul. So there you go. Read it for yourself now, and let's ask God to search our hearts to see if there's any self-righteous stubbornness, dark stubbornness to his truth in our hearts as well. If there's a key verse here, perhaps it's that last verse, verse 60, where Stephen asked God to forgive his assassins. You know, that's what he had wanted for them all along, that they would know the forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ. And I hope you know that forgiveness as well. If not, please ask Jesus Christ to forgive you right now and let him make you a bold voice for his great love. Go ahead now. You're on your own. Dig in. Grace and peace.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free and free to share, so tell your friends and take the journey together. Bill Welsh is the senior pastor of Refuge at Huntington Beach, California. You can find information and links for all of our teachers on the website. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.